seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Oh, majesty enthroned above. Oh, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to all praises due. I stand in awe. Again, now lift it up. Oh, I stand in awe of you. Oh, I stand, oh, in awe of you. Holy God, all praises to you. Yes, I stand. Sing it again now. Just lift him up now. Oh, and I stand. Jesus, we stand. Holy God, all praises to you.
Stand in awe of him. Hallelujah. Isn't he lovely? Amen. Let's just join our voice together this morning as we enter into his house and just praise and worship him for a little while. Amen. And just let him know what he means to us. Sing this song with me.
In Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by his strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my head, but this to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone do I glory, for only by his grace I am redeemed. For only his tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my need. And now I see no greater honor than just to know him more, and to count my gains but losses for the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone.
Come on, sing it, church.
Oh, yes, to find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me and my source of strength, my source of hope.
Sing it again.
In Christ alone I place my trust admire my glory and the power of the cross. Oh, in every victory, yes. Oh, my source of strength, my source of hope, again, Christ alone. And I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. Oh, and every victory, let it be said, oh, is my source of strength, my source of hope, is Christ alone.
Let's sing this song together. How great is our God, the splendor of a king. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Oh, and darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Is our God, and all who see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hand. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The bride and Christ are one, hallelujah. Uniting time has come. Oh, soon we're going home. Oh, does that make you happy, church? Yes, how great is our God. Won't you sing with me? How great is our God. Come on now. All will see how great is our God. Let's lift him up now. Oh, cause you're the name above. Jesus, you are worthy. How great is our God. Again, sing it now. You're the name above all names. Jesus, you are worthy. Oh, my heart will sing how great is our God. How great, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Once again, how great, oh, and how great, oh, is our God. Sing with me, church, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great is our God. Could we sing, he's the name above all names? Oh, he's the name above all names.
Our God, just softly now. Oh, and how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Amen, amen. Could you praise Him? Hallelujah. Isn't that lovely? Amen. What a beautiful atmosphere. Amen. I know it sounds wonderful to my ears. Can you imagine what it sounds like to our Heavenly Father when you praise and worship Him that way? Well, I know the angels rejoice. And let's just take our special needs to Him this morning. It's not a very long list, which is a good thing, but I have two special needs before me that we want to keep on our hearts. And I'd like to ask Brother John James to make ready to take these needs to the Lord for us. If you'd please remember Brother Bill Walters in prayer. He's recovering from eye surgery. I know that's a very painful ordeal, so if you could remember him in prayer. And also remember Bill's father, who is 97 years old, had emergency bowel surgery yesterday, and he's in ICU. So we want to remember that very special need in prayer for the Walters family. Amen. Also, if you'd remember Sister Mia, she's traveling tomorrow for 5 weeks, so we want to pray for safe travels. God would be with her, and the angels just camp about her and keep her safe through her travels and bring her safely back to her destination. Amen. Praying for Brother Keith. Want to remember him in prayer as well, and the different needs in our church. We all keep on our hearts. Remember the Drum family and the Smith family in prayer always. Often it's hard for them to be at church and with their condition, so we think about them and miss them very much, and we're going to be holding them up in prayer. Amen. Do you have unspoken prayer requests? I have them on my heart, and let's just pray together, Brother John.
Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just count it an honor and a joy to be in your house tonight, Lord. We open our hearts to your word tonight, today, Lord, and we just know that you will speak to us, speak to the needs that were spoken today, Brother Walters, his father, the Smiths, the Drums, those that are sick. I know I'm probably not remembering everyone, Lord, but those that are traveling, Lord, you know the need. You will speak to the need because you said if we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus, and we're asking in Jesus Christ's name, that you will just take care of these needs. Only a few were spoken. Brother Keith, Lord, we know that he's a testimony to all of us, Lord, an encouragement. He's keeping the faith in your word, Lord, and claiming his healing, and we're claiming it today with him, Lord. We know Brother Keith will just come out on the other end as a true testimony to your word. Strengthen him, Lord. Give him whatever he needs. If he needs a liver, Lord, just give him a liver. If he needs a healing, give him a healing. Give him all, Lord, because we know that you're a good God. You're a provider, Lord. I'm just praying for all these needs, all the unspoken. Many are serious, Lord, spiritually, physically. We just know that family members, we want them all saved, Lord Jesus, and we want your love to come through in our lives to just minister to those needs. Just minister through us, Lord Jesus. Just be with the remainder of the service, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother John. You may have your seats. Apologies if I've kept you standing too long, but it's just hard to sit down when you're in the spirit of worship. And let's just continue in that mode of worship at this time. Let's sing that song Brother Matt's playing, Power of Your Love.
Lord, I've come to you. Let my heart be changed and renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Found in you, Lord. Oh Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Oh Jesus, hold me close and let your love surround me. Of your love as you live in me, as you live in me, Lord. And Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, living by the power of your love. Oh, hold me close and let your love surround me. Yes, bring me near and draw me to your side. Oh, that I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. And I will soar with you. Oh, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love.
Amen. We fall down. We lay our crowns at his feet. Amen.
We fall down and we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus in the greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 is the Lamb. Oh, when we fall down and we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus, at the greatness of His mercy and love, at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, we cry, holy, holy. Yes, Lord, and we cry, is the Lamb. One last time, let's sing it from the top. Yes, we fall down and we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. Oh, and the greatness of His mercy and love, at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, 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 we cry, holy, we cry, holy, holy, is a I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within Your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. Oh, I speak Jesus. Your name is healing, Your name is life. That's right. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Yeah. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. Yes, I speak Jesus. Your name is power, Your name is healing, Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus on the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Sing it again now. Shout Jesus on the mountains, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, oh, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Come on, stand and sing it now. Your name is power, oh, your name, yes. Sing it to a church, break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows, burn like a fire, 'cause your name is power. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Yeah. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. Oh, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Jesus, once again, shout Jesus. Oh, shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. Oh, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Jesus, your name is power. Your name is power. Oh, your name is healing. Your name is life. Yes, and break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak. Over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Amen. Could we praise him with our hands? Hallelujah. 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 Why don't we sing this song together? What a wonderful name it is, as we welcome Brother Trevor Eamon. Man, I'm looking forward to hear what God has in store. Word today, and I just hope that you'll just pull on the gift and get what God has for you. Amen. We're going to take our tithes and offerings just before he comes out, so if the deacons would make our way forward. Amen. And we'll just continue our praise and worship and our tithing and offerings at this time. Chris Clayville, if you'd like to lead us in prayer, brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful once again for the opportunity to come to your house this morning. Lord, we ask you to be with this part of our worship, be with the gift, the giver, the intended purpose. Lord, we ask you to be with Brother Trevor as he brings forth the word. Lord, speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you. We thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Chris. Let's sing this song together as Brother Trevor makes his way out. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this.
What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory and now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. Oh, what could separate us now? What a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death cannot touch him. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Silence the boast of sin and grave. Well, the heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again, and you have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever our God reigns. Yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. A name. Let's sing it again. Death could not hold you. Well, death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave, and the heavens are roaring praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, and you have no equal. Now and our God reigns. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. Powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. A powerful name it is. Yes,
What a powerful name it is, the name of, what a powerful name. Oh, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh God, you're worthy, Lord Jesus, of all of our praise. Lord, we lift up the powerful name of Jesus. For Lord, it's by that name. Lord, it's by your name that we are saved, Lord. It's by you that we are healed, Lord. All that we are, Lord God, is in that name, Father. For here, Lord, is a bride of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, here we are, Father, saying, Lord, we want to take on your name, Lord Jesus. May we be Mrs. Jesus Christ. So, Lord, may we glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we love you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You love him this morning?
Amen.
Amen. He is worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we'll go ahead and turn into the book of Revelation, if you would. That is not the right set of slides. Yeah, that'll work. So there's probably a couple named the same. So sort by date there, and we'll get the right ones. Anyway, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and bring greetings from Brother Nathan Bryant and Church of the Open Door. And Brother Barry said to greet you, and I thought about doing a great Brother Barry impression and talking about birthdays and various things, maybe showing some pictures of various needs around the world, but... what I have, yes, that one, praise the Lord, that one, yes, but I have a lot to talk about, so we're not going to do that, so yes, wonderful. So Revelations, oh, these slides don't start with scriptures, so, but we will read something from the book of Revelation. Let's go ahead and read Revelation 10. And I am just happy to be back here with you all. Always enjoy coming and being with you and fellowshipping. Revelations 10, let's read just the first four verses to start with here. Revelations 10, 1 through 4, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And when he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And maybe the verse 5 as well, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. We'll just keep reading on down to 7. And swear, how do you stop? And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look to your word, Lord, may you bless it in our hearing. Father, may you give us the sense, Lord Jesus, and may we see where we are in your word, Lord. Lord, I know this is a very common scripture to us, but Father, I believe there's a reason. And so, Father, may you break it open more and more to us this day. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So this sermon, I believe, will stand on its own. However, it is part of a larger series that I have done on the book of Revelation. And I think it's probably my favorite of that particular series that I've done. And I believe it's very meaningful. And so the question that I would like the sermon to answer is one of those, like, why is it that we have this message? Why is it that we talk about this message? Why is it that we even have the phrase "the message" and that sort of thing? And so it's one of those things that opens that up to us a little bit deeper, but not only just to be like, hey, obviously this is a message church, we all believe the message anyway, but I don't want to just be like, hey, here, this is actually why you believe the message, go you. But that it actually there's scripture that this calls to us, and this draws us out of ourselves, that we could see Christ in a deeper way, and so that's what we're looking to do. So I've put together a little timeline. So, but also we want to focus in on the word redemption, because this is what it's all about, right? Yeah, if we are not redeemed, that's not good. We must be redeemed. And so the process of redemption, after the fall in the garden, we needed redemption. We have to have redemption. And so creation is groaning and crying, you know, for that day of redemption, for the adoption to come, for us to be changed from who we are into Him and into His likeness and completeness. And so this is the whole goal. Look, if you're not looking for redemption as a Christian, I don't know what it is you're doing. Like, this is what it's about. God, there was a way I was once, and I'm not that now, and you said you could make me that again. Okay, you just, what do I do? I know you did it all, but within that, what do I do? Like, how can I be a part of that, God? Because I want to be a part of you. Amen. So a little timeline that I put together, and I don't know how this is going to look on 85-inch monitors or whatever these are. Maybe the next... Oh, I forgot. I get to control that. Wonderful. And so, you guys are good back there. And so, yeah. So anyway, I've got 1906. We've got the Holocaust. 1963, 2000, a little break there because we don't know when the rapture is going to happen. The tribulation period, the millennium, 1,000 years, the white throne. And so where we're dwelling here is we're going to be talking about Revelation chapter 10, and we're going to be talking about Revelation chapter 11, and the comparison and contrast between those two and kind of what they show us, and I think it's a really beautiful thing. So right here in 1963, we've got the book open and seven thunders, and we've got verses 1 through 11 of chapter 10 there. That's the 10 on the left side, and 11, that's the 11th chapter of Revelation. And so we're going to see, we've got the second woe there, the two witnesses, which are going to happen in the tribulation period, the seventh trumpet for the Jews, and then we've got chapter 22 there, where we've got the final manifestation of he that is filthy will be filthy still after the rapture. You're either saved before the rapture or you're not, right? There will be people who die for their faith, but they were saved before the rapture. There's no getting saved after the rapture for Gentiles. And then we've got the city of God and the white throne, after the white throne judgment coming down. And so we just kind of marry these things up, just kind of put these scriptures here on a timeline together just to help us out, see kind of where things are at and where this happens. And so we understand Revelation 10 is beginning in 1963, in February, March of 1963. And so, okay, so we have a question. Redemption. What is it? We want to talk about redemption. We want to see what redemption is in the book of Revelation. So what is redemption? Well, we'll just let Brother Brandon answer. Redeemed or redemption? I like the word redemption. Redeemed means to be bought, brought back, redeemed. As I said this morning at the Christian men's talking on reconciliation, I said redemption means that the devil put you in the pawn shop and Jesus come taking you out. So you were as I said, you were one way, something happened, now you needed to be redeemed. You needed to be taken back, and someone needed to pay the price for you to be redeemed. And we understand this has happened at Calvary. Part of what happened at Calvary was Jesus purchasing if we'd say it like that, Christ was purchasing our redemption. So you could say, but were you redeemed at Calvary? And it's like, well, yes. Your redemption was purchased at Calvary, which means that you were redeemed. The purchase happened, but has he come and taken you and changed you and made and actually gotten you out of the pawn shop and put you into what you... And you're like, well, potentially, yes, but the manifestation hasn't happened, hasn't finalized yet. So the purchase of your redemption has been paid, but we're still waiting on the fullness of the manifestation of our redemption. Is that okay? Are we together? This is fine. Okay. So redemption. Why do we need redemption? What is like, okay, but, you know, and this is where we begin to be, you know, let's say a little messagey here. Is that okay? Right? Like this is to begin, we have to begin to show where this message, let's say, is shining forth in this day, and the need for it to come to us was because, you know, we had Baptists, we had, you know, Methodists, we had all of these denominations coming, and what were they saying? They're like, join our church, love Jesus, Jesus died for you, you were redeemed. And it's like, well, that's nice. Jesus died for me, he purchased my redemption, I get to go to heaven. Yay! Wonderful. Like, and that's the whole point, is so that I, you know, Jesus did something, because he's so nice, he did something for me, even though I'm a dirty, rotten scoundrel of a sinner who has not changed my life at all, but yet because of his grace, I get to be a dirty, rotten scoundrel of a sinner in heaven. Because I was redeemed. That's... Wait... What was your redeeming then? Well, I was in heaven, then I wasn't, and then I'm back to heaven. That's redemption. And this is what Christianity writ large is teaching us today, is that this is the redemption. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Yes. Yes, you know, I do have sermons where I sing Jesus paid it some to him I owe, but that's really more about our works, but anyway, that's a different sermon. Anyway, so, but that's what Christianity is bringing to us, is to say, and Christianity in air quotes, is to say that Jesus died for you, he paid for your sins. You know, there's maybe a few things that we would expect you to do a little bit better on, but, you know, you're a loser anyway, so you're just going to go to heaven. I reject that defeatist attitude of Christianity, that I am a loser anyway, and that God is just so gracious that he dies for me to take my losery self into heaven. I don't believe that. Here we go. We begin to get into message doctrine that the bride has made herself ready, right? Like this is not something that the Baptists are teaching you, that you are the bride of Jesus Christ, that there even is a bride. That's in the book of Revelation. This isn't just Brother Branham language. His wife has made, let me show herself ready. You know, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Right? These are scriptures coming out, but until this day, no one is talking about it. They're just saying Jesus died for you. And so then we begin to talk about the message, and then people are like, well, isn't Jesus enough? Yes. Yes, he was enough. Your church sure wasn't. Your doctrine sure wasn't enough, but Jesus himself was enough. But he is still speaking in the book of Revelation to show us his plan throughout the Gentile ages and wrapping it up throughout all of eternity. And where do you find yourself in the book? And what is he doing to complete your redemption so that you're not just a loser that got to go to heaven, but that you're actually someone who Jesus Christ would say, I desire to be with you. I desire to marry you. I mean, you know, guys, you know, you're looking for a girl that's an absolute loser so that you can be more Christ-like. Find the biggest loser of a young lady, propose to her, and then you can say, look at me, aren't I being Christ-like? No. Bad plan. Okay. Right? You guys listening over? You guys are taking notes. That's good. Right? I don't believe that that is what God's intention is, but that rather that redemption is such to bring us back to who we always were in Him, who we always were meant to be, which is to say, not a loser, which is to say that everything that He was is what is developing inside of me. And this is what the message is doing, because it must present Christ in His full manifestation of who He is and all that He is saying about Himself, so that then that mirror of who He is can be looked at by you and go, hey, my character doesn't match that. God, I need redemption. I need death to my own self, to my own first nature, God. This is redemption, so that when He comes to take His bride, He can come and say, wow, look at her. She's without spot. She's without wrinkle. Like, I am privileged to become the husband to this lady. Amen. That's what you guys are looking for. Yes, there will be growth. Amen, there will be growth. I mean, Brother Barry preaches on that, though. So, I actually have a pretty decent, I think, parenting sermon that I did recently at home. And I thought, there's no way I'm bringing that at Hickory Bible Tabernacle. Like, that's just, like, no. That's y'all be like, what? Come on. Try harder. Anyway. So the point then of our redemption is come back to who He is that you then, not only are you purchased to be His bride, but in that purchasing then, He is going to continue to complete the process of bringing you back to who you always were. And what He's doing then is He's going to use the thing that He has always used to effect change throughout all of history, and that was His Word. The Word that could speak and say, let there be light, and there was. And so then we have the same words then written down. And then in our day, what we're saying then is that He also sent a prophet to come and speak His words and have them recorded in a voice format, as in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when He shall begin to sound. The mysteries of God are finished, which means the whole reality of all that God is now opened up to us so that we can see who He is. And then know if we can see who He is, and we'll get to this in a bit, we can see who we are then too. And so yes, we can preach, you are the bride of Jesus Christ and you should rejoice. But it's more than just proclamation of a status that is conferred upon you. It is the words of God in this message than being heard in by your own ears, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So He put it on a tape. He recorded it for us to hear. And it is that hearing that is redeeming us and bringing us back to who we always were. So we should not get very far away from the source material, let's say. We should make sure that we're not just hearing, you know, hey, you're the bride of Jesus Christ. And you're like, yay. I mean, I came to the right service this morning. The preacher told me I was the bride of Jesus Christ. So but it's like, that's so condensed, right? Like, it's true. Amen. You are. Amen. But not because I've condensed all of that truth down and distilled it for you and said, look, you're in the right church. You are. You in your mind have decided that you believe what is being said, so you are. But that's a distillation of, like, because you have come to a place where you've recognized that this is the Word of God for this day that's going to change your very heart and redeem you back to who you always intended to be, that you are the bride of Christ, because if that Word begins to get inside of you, it can do nothing else but make you the bride of Jesus Christ, because the Word of God is powerful to do what it has always intended to do. When God spoke, let there be light, into the darkness and chaos that was there, there was nothing else could happen but light come. And so when the Word of God for this day begin to take root in the heart of faith, it can do nothing else but produce the bride of Jesus Christ, because it is about Him. It is not just about a prophet, though God used a prophet to bring it. But it is about him. And it is about him wanting a bride. And so hopefully that answers the question of why we need redemption. Because that's who, that's what we need to become. That's who we're looking to be. Okay. So, praise the Lord, we read our scripture. So this mighty angel then, let's just talk about this, because again, if we're talking about redemption, it's like, and you say, well, Brother Trevor, you said it's all about Christ. It's like, you know, well, why do we need this Revelations 10, 1 to 7 stuff? Like why? Well, because God said, John saw this mighty angel come down, clothed with a cloud. Okay, who is that then? Maybe it'd be a good idea to understand who that is. And so, in the breach, he says, when the seals are broke, the mystery is revealed. Down comes the angel, the messenger Christ, sitting his foot upon the land and upon the sea with a rainbow over his head. Now remember, this seventh angel is on earth at the time of his coming. So the seventh angel, there's a mighty angel and there's a seventh angel. There's a mighty angel in Revelations 10:1. There's a seventh angel in Revelations 10:7. The seventh angel, that 10:7, is on the earth at the time of this coming of this mighty angel. But who is this? Who is this? This is the mess. This is Christ. This is Christ coming down. Brother Branham just happens to be standing on the earth when this happens. The very day from anointed ones at the end time, the very day that the Son of Man is revealed, Revelations 10:1-7. Read it when you get home, the seventh angel's message, opening up the seals. What is it? Not the angel is the Son of Man, but the messenger is revealing the Son of Man. Can you get it separated now? That's where it seems to be so hard for you, see? Not the Son of Man himself, but the seventh angel, the seventh messenger, is revealing to the public the Son of Man, because it's left the shuck. You can't organize it. It's the grain itself again. So he is using this language of the seed shall not be heir with the shuck. If you haven't heard that sermon, this one you probably need to hear. You probably need to understand what Brother Branham is bringing out in the seed that is not heir with the shuck. So there's a good tape recommendation for the week if you'd like to. And so some people are writing that down. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. And then, you know, and then you should understand that the shuck represents Pentecost and denominations, and that the seed word has to come out of that, though it's part of it for a little while. So the seventh messenger is revealing to the public the Son of Man. So who's it about? It's about the Son of Man. It's about Christ. God just decided to use the seventh messenger to reveal himself to the public. Who's being revealed? Christ is. He is. Amen. So from Revelations chapter 5, part 2, the seventh and last one of these seals, when they're opened, it's found in Revelation the 10th chapter, there was a mighty angel, which was Christ. So we see this mighty angel. We know the prophet is identifying. This is Christ. I mean, the language identifies this mighty angel. This just got to be Christ, right? And so, but he comes and he's clothed with a cloud. So now you know why when I bring up that timeline and I put Revelations 10, 1 through 7 on 1963, well, it's because he came clothed with a cloud. And when he came clothed with a cloud, he gave Brother Branham the commission to go back to Jeffersonville and preach the seven seals and open up these mysteries to us so that the denominational system could be absolutely exposed. Because we absolutely needed that. We needed it to be exposed to us so that we could see that just church joining and doing church stuff wasn't actually Jesus. It just wasn't. And so he is exposing this trail of the devil and all of these things. And he's showing us who we are in Christ, because if he's showing us, you know, that this is how the devil is riding, then he's also got to show us how Jesus Christ is riding. And he's got to show us who Jesus is and our part in that and who we are. And so he comes down, he's clothed with the cloud, just as it says in the book of Revelation. And then now we got a picture taken. And then he comes back and he does reveal, you know, he does preach these things. And it does do all of these things. It does show us who Jesus Christ was. It does expose the devil. Like, all of this just happened. And so here we go. Like, here it is. Like, okay, man, science took a picture. Like, great. You know, And so what is it? So because Jesus Christ then is fulfilling Revelations 10:1 and has already fulfilled Revelations 10:1 and on down into 7. So he had, and so when he comes down, clothed with a cloud, he had in his hand a little book open. What is this little book? Well, we understand that this is the book of Revelation, or the book of redemption. Ooh, it's the book of redemption? Why is it the book of redemption? Well, we're going to have to go back to Revelation chapter 5, which is where did we last see Jesus in the book of Revelation? If we're coming through and reading through the book of Revelation, the last time we're going to see Jesus Christ is Revelation chapter 5. Then we're going to go into the seals, and then we're going to go into the sealing of the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 7. Revelations 8 and 9, we're going to have the seventh seal, and we're going to have the trumpets. And then here in 10, we're going to have this gap between the sixth and seventh trumpet, and we're going to see Jesus Christ come down. It's a beautiful picture. Wonderful, you know, but we don't have time for all that. So anyway, where do we see him last? Well, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written and within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And verse 6 and 7, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. This is Jesus, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. So Revelations 5, we see the book and we see Jesus. And then in Revelations 10, we're going to see Jesus and he's got a book, but it's open. It was sealed in 5, it's open in 10, but in 5, what's going to happen? See, John is weeping. The book. Nobody can take, who's worthy to open the book? It's got to be open so I can be redeemed. Did Jesus Christ already die? Yes. He had already purchased his redemption, but John, it's like, is Jesus not enough for you, John? Jesus died for you on the cross. Isn't that, you get to go to heaven, John, isn't that enough? And John is like, no, somebody's got to open the book. Somebody's got to be worthy to open the book. And the one who purchased the right to go and open the book came as a slain lamb and took the book, took off the seals and opened the book so that the names on the book of Revelation could be read. And this is what John he needs this to happen. So we understand this is the book of redemption. And when it happens, there's a song that is now sung by the bride in heaven saying, he was worthy to open the book. And angels don't sing this song because they said, because he has redeemed us. The angels weren't redeemed, but the bride was redeemed. And so there's the first song that's sung in heaven by Christians is in Revelations chapter 5, and there's three songs that is sung. That's a cool study, but we don't have time for that either. But if you look, just search song, you'll see there's three songs in heaven by the bride, by the 144,000, and by the ones who come through the tribulation in Revelations chapter 15. So that's fun, but that's where am I at here? Okay, so here Christ comes, though he's already died, John is looking for his name to be read on this book. So then the seven seals must be, like, they are on the book of redemption, which means they must be tied to our redemption. Though Jesus Christ has already purchased it, there's seals, and the bride can't sing, you've redeemed us, until these seals come off. And when these seals then come off, Jesus comes down with the book in his hand. And the prophet will tell us, and he sends those seals down to his seventh messenger, who we know is on this earth at the time of his coming. And now he reveals the seals to us. So then it must be then that the revelations of this message are tied to our redemption. And if that's true, then if you don't have the revelation of this message, what is it that's redeeming you? You have Jesus that purchased your redemption, but you haven't come into what he is bringing forth by his word to show you who he is, which is the power to change you into who he is as well. Is that okay? That is not trying to be exclusionary. That's not trying to say, well, aren't you glad you're in the message and not those Pentecostals? You bride. That's because you're in the right church. You did it. You chose wisely. No, that's denominational thinking. That has nothing to do with what he's saying. But what we're saying is the word is still speaking, and it spoke in our day. And so then, that must be the thing. That must be it. That must be what we need to take in to change us and fully redeem us. And so, well, then we get into the seven thunders. And does anybody want to leave? It's about to get super, super. I think you're going to be fine, really. So in the message, well, because, you know, it never, I never understood, like, how we read the book Revelations 10, and then we have the seven thunders, and then, okay, that's kind of mysterious, even though in the church age book he said that those seven thunders are the mysteries revealed in the seven seals. But anyway, I don't know why no one believes that, but we want to make it mysterious. Like, we want to make it something. We want to make it this big thing, like oh my goodness, it's, well, we'll read the quotes, don't worry. I'm just trying to throw out the things that we all think and, you know, have been through and all of that, so that we can identify, and then the message can just solve it for us, and that'd be a wonderful thing. So, but I never understood, you know, we see where he's, you know, seven thunders utter their voices, and it's like, yeah, Revelations 10:1 happened, seven thunders utter their voices. Well, we're not really sure. He has the book in his hand, and he stands, puts one foot on the shore and one foot on the sea, and declares that time shall be no more, and that kind of sounds like it's over. And so if time shall be no more and it sounds like it's over, then we're like, well, that can't have happened yet, because seems like we still have time. And then, but I would say there's still time in the millennium, and we know this happens before the millennium. And so then now we're really confused. So, but if 10:1 had happened, then why not 3? Why not 4? Why not 5? Why not 6? Why not 7? Like, they've all, like, these are tied together. So let's just look at some of the things the prophet said. So look where the voices was, the thunders, not in heaven, on earth. The thunders never uttered from heavens. They uttered on earth. So I want to talk about time for just a moment, because this is where we get it confused a lot in the message, and we don't quite understand. Well, like, we see, like, it's one of those big questions. It's like, is Jesus still on the mercy seat or isn't he? It's like, well, if we have the seals, he must have taken the book, which means he must be off the mercy seat, and some people believe that, and then, you know, well, then nobody can be saved after 1963, and so we create a lot of, you know, extra doctrines that aren't in the Bible so that we can still have our kids saved and the preacher saved who was born after 63 as well, like, you know. And so it's like, well, that seems, so then we just complicate it, and that doesn't seem like a, you know, elegant solution. So then it's like, no, he's just still on the mercy seat. And then it's like, well, then how do we have the seals? And we don't really know. And you know, well, it's just because, you know, guess where Jesus is getting off the throne and taking the book? You know where that's happening at? Heaven. You know what time it is in heaven right now? Yes. What time is it in heaven now? Yeah, what time was it 10 minutes ago in heaven now? He is the I am. Yes, it's infinite time, and then that infinite impacts our finite time. Like, there's places where infinite strikes the finite, and it's doing so in Revelations 10. But to say that, you know, this thing has completed in heaven is a lot harder to say, because it's now. He is the I am. And so Brother Branham is distinguishing now for us that the seven thunders are uttering on earth, which means within our normal timeline and not in heaven. If they uttered in heaven, we'd be like, yeah, I mean, it's now, and we'd be right. But because he's telling us it uttered on earth, and it has to be within finite time, because anything that happens on earth happens within our time. Hope that's okay. Hope maybe that clears something up for you. It took me a long time to get to that, you know, way to make my brain stop hurting. And so if you just got that and I helped you with that, and you're not going to struggle for 30 years of your life, just, you're welcome. You're welcome. So, okay, so I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal, capital S-E-A-L, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. It's on the backside when a book is completed. Not did he say on the front side, he said on the backside, after it's all done, completed. Then these seven thunders' voices is the only thing that's stuck to the book that's not revealed. It's not even written in the book. Oh my, I wish I could get that. The people could actually, don't fail. Don't fail. Please. Don't. This time, I'm fixing to leave you. Don't fail. You ever listened? Listen. Like, man, that's a paragraph. Like, everybody's like, anybody need to go out and grab coffee, come back? We awake for this. Like, he is like, don't. Like, if you ever listen to the prophet, listen. Okay? And the seals are on the backside of the book. And at the time, can we get some music to set the tone? And at the time the seventh angel is sounding, all the mysteries that are written in the book is completed. Immediately the book that was open and written within is closed. The mysteries of God is finished. And this is the mysteries of God, the going of the church, all these other things. The mysteries is over. When that seventh angel sounds out every mystery, it's over. Let him be who he may, whatever it might be. God's word can't fail. And he said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he's declared to his servants, the prophets. Did you catch it? What he said. Why he's saying, don't fail. Don't fail. Thank you, Peter. Yes. It's like, don't fail to miss this standard message doctrine stuff. Right? Like, forgive me for, again, distilling it down for that, right? But, like, don't fail. Like, I'm talking about the thunders. Don't fail to miss this. And then tells us things that we all know and could recite by heart. What does that tell you? Okay, so hold that. We're going to add to that, right? Okay, so first seal, that's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. So we need the seven thunders for what? Rapturing faith. How many have rapturing faith? Six people, and then the four that amen. Okay, you have rapturing faith. Why are you here? Why didn't just go ahead and rapture yourself? That's good. No, yes, you can. You like potentially we have rapturing faith. Yes, God has given you rapturing faith, but you can't rapture until the rapture. Works by a law. As Brother Branham says, your faith works by a law. You want water to get from this side of the mountain. If you work by the law of gravity, you can make it happen. You have rapturing faith. Amen. Sure hope you better. You have the faith in you now to create a world and go live on it. Amen. You know, just I pray that you can manifest that. Make it beautiful and invite me. Right? But these things work by a law. And so we have to, our rapturing faith is going to come at the time of the rapture. And it cannot come before that. So though you have it potentially, it must be held to wait. So the seven thunders then, which are happening in time and are on the back after the book is revealed on the backside, that it's something that's coming to give us rapturing faith. That's what we've got so far, because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There's something, we've got to step farther. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept out of this earth. And we'll find that after a while, the Lord willing, find where it's written. Okay? And so I remember when he swept down. I need to preface this. Now, how many have heard, we have message phrases, you know this. We have modes of expression that are unique to us in, let's say, message culture. And those things are fine, although they make it really hard to search the message sometimes if you're trying to find a phrase like, there's one like, when the bride realizes who she is, she's gone. Has anybody ever heard that one before? Everybody's heard that one before, right? Search that in your table app sometime or your Message Hub app, whichever, I'm platform agnostic, whichever one you want to use. Search that sometime. You'll never find it. It's in Christ is the mystery of God revealed, but it says that, but it doesn't say that, right? That's not literally what he said, and you'll never find it if you search bride realizes who she is. It's just, no, that's not how he said it, although that is the generality of what he's saying, and we believe that, and that's fine. Another one, and maybe you have heard this one, maybe you haven't. You know, I'm from Jeffersonville, so this is a very, very common one in Jeffersonville. Rapturing faith is on the tapes. Has anybody heard that one? Yep, that's definitely, yeah, search, find that one. Well, it's in the message of the absolute, even though it is, but it isn't. And I remember when he swept down there in that big light, standing yonder at the bottom of the river in 1933 in June, when he said, as John the Baptist was sent forth and forerun the first coming of Christ, I send you with a message to the world to forerun the second coming of Christ. So he's talking about this message that he sent, and around the world she's went. Who is she? The message. When Revival Fires has been built for 15 years and nearly every mountain, divine healing across the nations and power and restoration, and I believe she is ready to strike that final climax yonder. Who's she? Same thing. Send you with a message. She's went. It's the message. She is ready. The message is ready to strike that final climax yonder to bring forth a faith that will rapture the church into glory. She's laying in the messages. Who's she? The message is laying in the messages. And you could say, like, Brother Branham, there goes your seventh grade education again, and you're kind of you're doing that thing where you kind of state obvious stuff, and or you can recognize that he's actually saying something to us here, that the message, that what's actually being said is, well, very quite logically, encapsulated by the messages that are recorded for us on tape. And so what he's saying then is that message is ready to strike a final climax yonder. So after it's revealed then, you then have time to be changed by that message to a point where it gets you to a place where it's ready to strike a final climax yonder. You see, that's what this message is trying to bring to us, is that the Pentecostals wanted you to come to an altar and have the moment. And we still have this kind of thinking. We still have this kind of like, we're waiting for the moment. Like, Lord, let the thunders happen. Boom. And, you know, power and change. And what I would say to you is, yes, it has happened. That this message has come. It is power and change. It's just not one moment, but it's moment by moment by moment of growing and growing and growing. If you talk to some of the old, you know, the older brothers, you know, who were still around when Brother Branham was preaching and began to have ministries right after the Brother Branham left, you know, and you know, this is the kind of sermon, like, if I preach this sermon. And because I've done this, and so this isn't me just being arrogant. This is me just saying what I realized as part of this is when I begin to bring some of these kinds of things out of the Book of Revelation, and I begin to preach this at a brother's church who has been in the message just like a really really long time, and you know who is in some of Brother Branham's meetings and things like that, and they'll look at me and like, how do you know that? Like, how did you do this? How did you figure this out? And you know, you're how old? You shouldn't know this yet. You're like, oh my goodness. And it's like, and you know, and then one brother said to me, you know, if you would have told me 30 years ago that I would have saw it like this, I never would have believed you. And it's like, well, but brother, you pioneered a lot of things. Like there's a lot of things that you struggled through and figured out and were able to distill and help us see. And so we're kind of standing on your shoulders. So there's a lot of things that I didn't struggle through. So the things I'm struggling through are not what you struggled through. Because why? There's a growth. There's a maturing, right? We go back to the seed, not air with the shock thing, right? The seed comes out. It's got to ripen. It's got to mature. That's what, like, harvest time, that message. Like, that's what we're talking about here. And so we've got all these messages that explain that to us. But then we're like, whoa, but the thunders, that's got to be a moment. It's got to just, bam, happen to us. And, oh, yes, rapture. But why? It's like we have all of these messages telling us ripening, growth, strengthening, progression, deepening. And then we want the thunders. No, it's the same thing. She is laying in the messages. This rapturing faith that we have, she's ready to strike a final climax yonder to bring forth a faith that will rapture the church into glory. She is laying, the message is laying in the messages. Do you want your rapture to come? Do you want your redemption to come to bring you home with Jesus? Lay in the messages with it. Get into the tapes. Get into what the prophet actually said, because that is the thing that has the life inside of it to change you and to redeem your body. It must be the Word of God. It is the only thing powerful enough to do it. And so don't just come to church and let a pastor or an evangelist or someone distill down for you, here's the general idea, and then go, well, I guess because the general idea is preached and I was here, I get to be part of the general idea. No. No, but what's being presented to you is, hey, you're a part of this. You can be a part of this. And the way to be a part of this is to dive into the Word of God, because that is what has the power to redeem and to change you. Because Brother Branham would tell us in the third seal, as he was talking about Eve, he said the Word would come to her for one purpose, redemption. So that's what this Word is coming to do, is to redeem us. And so what are these seven thunders? Well, they're mysteries revealed to us in the seven seals. Like, they're already, it's already come. It's already in one sense has happened, but it is happening. It is a progression of what is going on in our lives right now. Now, I want to lay this out for you because I know this is some deep teaching and, you know, hopefully I get invited back and all of that, but I hope this is going down smooth. So now we want to talk about time no longer, because he sets his foot on the land and he sets his foot on the sea and he declares that time shall be no more. And like I said, because we think like that sounds final, that we got to push that off because we're in time, even though that whole millennium wrinkle puts some time there and we struggle with that. So let's talk about what's happening here. Let's talk what does it mean, time no longer? And so the Feast of the Trumpets, he begins to tell us a story. And so we're going to go through two stories here. We're going to talk about Abraham and Sarah, because we're talking about rapturing faith, because we're talking about redemption. We're going to talk about them having a body change. Again, Baptists never preached this. Pentecostals never preached this. The only, like, until you come to the seventh angel, you never hear this story being presented as we have it today. And so, and then we're going to talk about the story that he will tell in the sixth seal, and that'll be about the man from Chicago coming out west to find a bride. And, you know, he chooses everybody. There's three people nodding. More people need to listen to tapes. If you aren't familiar with these stories, you should hear these stories. Like, this is, they're not just stories, you know. Okay, so anyway, lots to say, but not Feast of the Trumpets. Notice what happened immediately. She turned who? Sarah. Sarah turns back to a lovely young woman, showing in there, portraying what he's going to do to the royal seed of Abraham. You, right? To receive the son that's been promised, Christ. In her case, Isaac. She turned back to a young, look, they went down into Gerar. What happened? Abimelech, the king, fell in love with her. See, she's fair and beautiful and was going to marry her. Is that right? Old grandma. All those other pretty girls down there. Granny, she's beautiful. She's fair to look upon. See, God changed her body and turned them back. It's a mystery that's to be revealed in this day by the Son of Man. See the evening message. See, turned back. And what was the last sign they seen? What? That discernment before the change of the body come. And before we can ever receive the Son, what happens? The trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. A new body. And we shall be, we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, hallelujah, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. The secret has been made known. The seals are open. The trumpet sounded for Israel. The two prophets ready to appear. Quick Iran and Israel update. Good enough? Okay, it's just the trumpet sound like the two prophets are ready to appear. Like, this seems real now. The church must get off the scene right now. Hey, this train is on its tracks. Don't know if you're on the train or not. But everything we've been taught and has been laying, what we might even think was dormant and we got to play around for a while, like starting to look, I'm not saying this is that and this is that. Like, it could be another 100 years, but like it's net, like, wow. He can't deal with two at the same time. He never did. So we come through this story and you know, here is Abraham and Sarah, and they're down at the king of Gerar, and she, you know, she's so old she can't have a child. And the king of Gerar is like, can't wait to marry her. Right? And no one ever caught this before. Like, it's so, like, we look at it and it's like so incredibly obvious. That is strange. Wow, that's not just strange. That's not just a story. It has meaning to it. It's God communicating what he's going to do in the last days. And so here we have then, we have Christ coming as Melchizedek in the form of a human body, and then he begins to talk to Abraham, and behind him in the tent is Sarah, and he can tell her what she thought in and laughed in her heart behind him. Right? It's biblical, right? So then Brother Branham will come and he'll preach a message. Who is this Melchizedek? Speaking of that story, and then he'll come to the end of the sermon, and as we all know, he had the ability to discern and, you know what was going on, and so he turns his back, and he begins to discern what's going on in the people behind him. Why is he doing that? So he can show you he's Christ? No! Because he's being led by the Spirit to show you that what was happening in 1963 is the same thing that was happening in Abraham's day, not so that he could lift his own self up and his own ministry about who the seventh angel was, but because God was going to use a man in the same way he used a body of Melchizedek. He was going to use the seventh angel to announce to you that your body change, that the time for your body change has begun. Now, Abraham and Sarah had been given a promise 24 years prior to this point. So you could say, well, they already had the promise and the time of the promise was already going. But yet then why does Melchizedek come and reconfirm the promise and show who he is and tell them, there's like, you've had the promise and I'm not saying anything's different, but the time of that promise's manifestation begins now. And then they begin to take a journey, and through the journey of their life into career, be even unbeknownst to them maybe, their bodies change, and the king of career thinks grandma is so worth marrying. And so what we're seeing then is God is using the life of a prophet to announce to the people that, hey, the time of your body change begins now. And then he gives us that thing which actually changes your body, which is the word. Is that okay? So then if we look at what's going on in Revelation chapter 10 with one foot on the sea and one foot on the land, declaring that time is no more, is it any different than what Melchizedek was doing with Abraham and Sarah, saying the promise that has always been for you, according to the time of life, will happen. And a clock, like let's say a countdown timer of 9 months or whatever it ended up being, begins at that juncture. Is this okay? All right. We're gonna have another story now that's going to say the same thing. I like this. So I think of a little story. If I'm not taking too much of your time now in this preliminary, I do this for a purpose. I feel the Spirit just right to start. See, this is a sacred thing. See, who knows them things there? Nobody but God. And they're not supposed to be revealed and proved by the Bible that they would not be revealed to this day. That's exactly right. They was guessed at, but now we're supposed to get it exactly the truth, vindicated truth. So this is his preliminary to the story, and I know you know the story, and we'll just go through it. We won't read it just for time. But what he's like, look, I feel very led in the message, the sixth seal, which is, you know, the last one before the last one. You know, which is like, hey, this is the one before the one that comes and gets you and takes you home. So in that message, he gives this little story. And he felt very led of the Spirit to tell this story. And he tells the story of this young man. And he's searching for a wife. And he comes down and he finds this little cousin. And she's, you know, he sees her character. He sees, you know, she's out there throwing the wash water, the dishwater out past the fence. And, you know, all of the cousins, they're all dolled up and dancing around and trying to attract him. But he's just working. She's just showing her character, and she's, you know, she's mocked, and she's made fun of, and she's all of these other things, you know, and so then he comes and he notices her and notices her because, again, of what was in her heart, not was what was displayed all over her. And he comes, and one day he knows where she throws the dishwater out, and he's just got his foot up on the fence, and he's just standing there waiting. And she comes out and throws the wash water, and oh my goodness, here's this guy. And he begins to talk to her. Said, I've noticed you. You know I'm coming for a wife, and I want it to be you. You know, and what does he tell her? I'm going to go back to Chicago. I'm going to build a house. And I'm going to come back to you on this particular time. You have the wedding garment on. You be ready, because I'm coming back at coming back now. What's going on there? Well, he's starting a clock, isn't he? There's an engagement clock. A new phase of time of her life. She was always his bride. Oh yes, she was predestination wise, she was always his bride. But now to her, there's a timer has begun. He's coming back to get me. There's a change that has happened in time now for me. Right? And so he comes back and gets her, and he tells her, you know, you're going to be my bride, and that, you know, changes everything for her, you know? Like, everybody respects her after that. No. Actually makes more fun of her. Is that all right? Okay, that's another sermon too. Okay. We continue on here just a little bit. So now we need to bring in Revelation chapter 11, and this is not taking off my jacket because I'm going to preach for another 30 minutes. I might, but because it's kind of hot. So Revelation chapter 11, we want to bring this in because I want to mirror what's happening in Revelation 10 now. As we've set this up, I want to mirror now what's happening in Revelation 10 with Revelation 11. I'm going to go really, really, really fast. Is that okay? And then hopefully you can ask questions later. Revelation chapter 11, 1 through 3, we can go through those three scriptures, and we're just going to find out this is about the Jews, so I'm going to go through that. So Revelation chapter 11, that's about the Jews, and in Revelation 11, you're going to see the two witnesses come. And so what's going on? Well, now we understand, if Daniel 70 weeks and the timeline that we've got, we understand that after the rapture, Christ is going to go back to the Jews. He's going to send them the two witnesses. They're going to preach for 3.5 years, 1,260 days, times and a half time, you know, all of the ways that we have 3.5 years displayed in Scripture. And then they're going to die, and then they're going to raise up 3 days later, and Jesus is going to come and make himself known to the Jews, right? Is that good? That's just a very broad, everybody generally understands that. Here's the idea. Here's what's being set up in Genesis for this moment. Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. I think I've mentioned it here before, but obviously this is a very strange scripture because Abraham wants to get a good bride for Isaac, and you know we want to get a good bride for Jacob because Esau, he you know went out and found the wrong ones, and so there's a lot of scripture being talked about making sure you get a good bride, and then Joseph comes along, and you know we know how great he is in scripture, and he just gets an idolatrous priest's daughter, and we just continue on in the scripture, and it's like, well, why? Well, because she's a Gentile, praise God. Okay, and so Genesis 45, 1 through 5, Joseph, after all of that's going on in Joseph's life, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all that stood by him. He cried, cause every man to go out from me. There stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. So we understand this story, what's going on with Joseph. So, right, he gets a Gentile bride. She goes behind him in the palace while he makes himself known to his brethren. This is what's happening in Revelation chapter 11, right? And so watch another thing. When Joseph got the children before him, he looked at them. He's seen little Benjamin. He's seen Ephraim, all the rest of them there, the Gad and all of them, the 12 tribes, 10 tribes then standing before him. He said, them all standing there. He knew they were his brethren. He looked at little Benjamin directly. His throat began to fill up. Knew them was his. What did he say? Let every man leave me. What happened to his wife and children? They went into the palace. Where will the Gentile church go at the rapture? In the palace. The bride, hallelujah, the bride will be taken off the earth in the rapture. Then when he returns, his bride isn't there when he makes himself known to his brethren, the Jews, those who pierced him, those who rejected him. But his wife and his loved ones, his close friends there, his own God-sent companions had in the temple. So we know, okay, what we're talking about is the Gentile bride. That's us. We're in the marriage supper after the rapture while he's making himself known to the Jews. And we kind of like, okay, that's where we are. That's where they are. And then just, but I want to show you the parallels between 10 and 11 here. So first seal, Joseph, when he looked at them, he couldn't stand it no longer. Now remember, his wife, his children was in the palace at the time. The saints gone out. He said, I'm Joseph, your brother. He ran and grabbed Benjamin, fell on his neck, began to cry, make himself known. They said, now we know we got it coming, for we sold him, and we was the one that sold him off and tried to kill him. Now we know he'll kill us. He said, don't be angry with yourself. You only did it to preserve life. That's why God sent me down here. When he makes himself known, the Bible says, as we come to it, when he makes himself known to that 144,000 there, the little Benjamin of today, Revelation 7, and the redemption of those Jews there, when he makes himself known, they'll say, where did you get these scars? What are they doing in your hands? He'll say, oh, I got them in the house of my friends. They'll realize that they killed the Messiah, but what will he say? The same as Joseph did. You did it to serve life, to save life. Don't be angry with yourselves because the Gentiles would not have been brought in if the Jews hadn't done that blindfolded trick. So he saved the life of the church by the things that he'd done. So I want to come back here because I should have highlighted it, but I didn't. When he makes himself known, is that what he's doing with the Jews? He's revealing himself. Right? He looks Egyptian. He's got all of the Egyptian stuff on him. Make everybody leave. Makes himself known. Is that what's happening? That's what's going to happen that's what Revelation is talking about. Revelation 11 is talking about the redemption of the Jews during the tribulation period while we're in the palace. It is their redemption. What is he doing to redeem them? Making himself known to his brethren so that they can see who he is. Hallelujah. So Zechariah 12:10, these are also some of the scriptures that we know. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And in Zechariah 13, one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? They shall answer, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. So what's happening in the book of Revelation? It's 11. It's also Zechariah 12. It's also Zechariah 13. That God has ended it for the Gentiles. They're in the palace. And now what's he doing? He's going to redeem. He's going to finish. He's finished the redemption of the Gentiles. And now he's going to finish the redemption of the 144,000. How is he going to do that? He's going to make himself known. He purchased their redemption at the cross as well. They didn't know who he was, so they couldn't be redeemed. Right? It was about Jesus. But it wasn't just about Jesus on the cross and staying there. It was about Jesus dying and purchasing their redemption on a cross, about him going into the grave, about him coming and showing that death has been broken, and that now he's alive forevermore, and then will pour himself out upon his people. What is he doing? He's making himself known. That is the process of redemption. He must make himself known. So we want to, I'm going to skip over this and this. Yeah, we'll just stay right here. So let's think about the story for just a minute, just as we close. Just give me, five more minutes or something like that. Is that okay? Is everybody? We got a little quiet, because what I did was I just took a shovel and dumped all of that Revelations 11 info on you, because I think you kind of already know it, and now if you don't know it, like, it's now in your minds that there are places for it, so you can go back and look for those things. But what we want to do now is just take that information and then let's mix it with everything that we've talked about to this point, and then we'll just bring everything to a general conclusion, okay? And so all of these things that we're talking about, we're going to wrap up and make sense to our minds now. So what's happening in the book of chapter 11 here, when Jesus is making himself known? This is the manifestation of what was talked about in the book of Genesis chapter 45 of Joseph making himself known to his brethren. So what's happening here? Let's think about what was going on with Joseph and his brothers. Now, they know there's a famine in the land. They hear that there's grain. So they come to Egypt. They want to buy grain. They buy grain. Joseph's like, oh, yeah, hey, we can sell you some grain. And then he causes some problems. He takes Simeon. He keeps him in prison, But so he gives them grain so they can live. Are they redeemed? Nope, they're going to have to come back. They need more grain. So finally, the brothers convince Jacob that they have to be able to bring Benjamin, or Benjamin's going to die of starvation. And so they finally get everybody to come, and they come back, and they buy more grain. And they get Simeon back, because he believes them, because Benjamin's with them. And so now they have more grain. Are they redeemed? Nope. I mean, even if Joseph doesn't mess with them even further and put the cup in Benjamin's bag, like, they're still not redeemed. Right? Because they don't know who he is. Because the one who could take care of every problem that they ever thought they'd have for the rest of their lives is standing right there, and they don't know who he is. And so he causes all these problems. He puts the cup in Benjamin's bag, and they bring him back, and he's treating them roughly, and finally he decides what, and so at the point, like, he could have just decided, I've treated you guys all, I've been mean, I've just messed with your heads, it was just a fun mental game for me, and so, I'm going to do? I'm going to go talk to Pharaoh, and I'm going to have Pharaoh put you in Goshen. How's that sound? And so he goes and talks to Pharaoh, and he says, hey, Pharaoh, there's like 70 Israelites, Hebrews, I'd like to just put them in Goshen. Pharaoh's like, I mean, Joseph, you've done all these amazing things. It's great, but, okay, but what? I don't get it. Like, why? Who are they? Well, they're just random Hebrews that I've messed with, so I feel bad. Like, it seems like Pharaoh could be just like, they're just random. Like, so we're just, no. you know, 3 years in, it's like, you know what, I want something, I want to do something else with Goshen. These are just random Hebrews, so we're just gonna remove them. They're not redeemed. But as soon as Joseph, as soon as he begins, he gets everybody out. And as soon as Joseph says, I'm Joseph, your brother. You now know, because you know who he is, you now know who you are. And because you are who you are in relation to me, you now get to go to Goshen. And Pharaoh will never, never take you out of there because he knows your relation to me. He's like, no, those are Joseph's people. They're not just random Hebrews. They're Joseph's brothers. They get to go and live there in the best of the land. Why? Because of who they are. Oh, don't you realize that you're the bride of Jesus Christ? It is who you are. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. And so you get to go and live in the land of Goshen. But the only reason you know that you are the bride of Jesus Christ is because he has revealed to you himself as the bridegroom. So we go back to the story of this man from Chicago that comes to this little girl out west. And her life, she is redeemed. She has changed. That the clock starts of the marriage the moment he reveals to himself to her, not just that he's looking for a bride. Everyone knew that. No one was a bride yet. But as soon as he came to her and said, you are the bride. I want to be your bridegroom. And revealed who he was in relation to her, she was redeemed. She was now as good as married. She became the bride in that moment. But until he revealed himself as a bridegroom, no one would ever know that there was a bride to even be had. And that's what this message is doing, is it's taking us from just believing that Jesus died on a cross so that you can go to heaven. But it's the mighty angel clothed with the cloud coming down as he's making himself known in chapter 11 to the Jews. What do you think he's doing in Revelation chapter 10 to the Gentiles? He's making himself known as a bridegroom. So my son just got married. Zion just got married in the end of March. We're super happy for him. They're doing really great. And they had a honeymoon in Italy. Let's answer all the questions before so that everybody don't have to answer that 50 times in the parking lot. They had a great trip to Italy for their honeymoon, and they're doing wonderful. Okay, that's great. So anyway, but can you imagine, like, before, like, their wedding was March 29th. Can you imagine that, like, last year, you know, couple years ago, let's say, before they even really started dating or talking, courting, whatever we want to call it, that Zion came to me and said, Dad, you know what? I'm going to get married March 29th, 2025. I'm like, yay, good. That's amazing, dude. Who's the lucky girl? I don't know. I mean, she'll come. Like, she'll, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it'll just happen because I picked a wedding date, so I'm sure. I'm so marriageable, got a bank account, got a job. Amen. Anyway, that's the Brother Barry sermon. You know, like, I'm marriageable, like, she's probably just going to show up on March 25th. It's like, hey, no, dude, that's not how this works, man. No, like, you're going to have to go and you're going to have to begin to look. And you're going to have to try to find that one of character that catches your interest, and then you're going to have to come to her, and you're going to have to, like, I know this is really hard, guys, but this is what's going to have to happen at some point in time. You're going to have to go up to that young lady and say, hi. Man, and then everything's easier after that, right? And so and so what you're doing in that is, like, if these guys say hi to anybody, any of the young ladies after service, they're going to just run. But anyway, like that's what they're doing. Like, you know, but that starts the process of revealing yourself as a bridegroom, right? You've got to get to a point where you reveal yourself to her. And what you're saying is hey, I think you look like bride material. And in order for there to even be a lady that's bride material, there also has to be a guy who's bridegroom material, and I just happen to think that I am that for you, which is incredibly, incredibly arrogant. And, you know, that's how this works, man. Girls love that, really, because it's like, oh, I'll feel secure with someone who has that much courage. Amen? Okay, so... have courage, young men. So, right? But isn't this is Revelation 10. This is what is happening, is Jesus Christ is now revealed. Like, there's a bride out there. I want you to know, I'm the bridegroom. What is Revelation chapter 10? It's Jesus Christ getting down on one knee, revealing himself as a bridegroom to a bride. This is what's happening. This is what God is using the seventh angel for. This is why we needed this message. This is why you can be the bride because of this message. It's because what it is Jesus Christ making himself known and unveiling himself to you. And so how does that happen? Because you said in the church today? No, because you caught a glimpse of the picture that he's painting here, which caused you to say, hey, I mean, what did he actually say? Was he a poet when he said it? Was he? Yeah. It's all kinds of poetry in the church age book. Let me tell you. Was he courageous when he said it? Yeah. There's a lot of times Brother Branham is bringing out some really courageous things. Was he loving when he said it? Yeah. There's a lot of times when the prophet is bringing out some really loving things. And you can fall in love with Christ as he's revealed by the voice of God in this day. Because that's what it was sent to do, is to draw you into him in love. This is the whole point. So make sure you have skirts and long hair. Like, yes, look attractive. Amen. That's okay, there you go. Holiness, done. Right? That's the whole idea, right? We took it down because we were still so Pentecostal, and we had to get rid of that shuck, and we had to come out as the seed, the true seed of God, to mature. We still had some of those, you know, kind of things. And so we were kind of legalistic, and we did kind of do that, and we didn't recognize that those things were just protecting us till we got to a place where we realized, I want to dress to attract him. Amen. And that's the heart of this message. That's what's happening here in Revelation chapter 10 and what's happening in Revelation 11. Revelation 11 is God making himself known to the Jews so that he can redeem them. Revelation chapter 10, what we know as this message is God revealing himself to his Gentile bride as a bridegroom so that she can make herself ready. So yes, he set one foot on the land. He set one foot on the sea. And he said, just as that guy from Chicago came down and told that little girl, I'm coming back at this time. The clock has now begun. And just as it happened for Abraham and Sarah, when he turned his back and revealed the secrets of the hearts behind him, their body change began. So yes, when the seals were opened, the thunders did utter their voice. Time was no more, in the sense that Christ is saying, from this moment on, the changing of the body is beginning because you have the word that can change you. From this moment on, you recognize who you are because I have revealed who I am. And so that's what I want. And so yes, when the preacher gets up and says, maybe you should listen to Harvest Time. Maybe you should listen to Spoken Words, the original seed. Maybe you should listen to Seed Is Not Air with the Shuck. But it's not just doctrine. It's the play that is being, the drama that is being broadcast of where you are and who you are in his plan. And then you begin to catch the glimpses of who he is, that it might change you and speak that life into your heart. And that's what we're doing here today, friends. That's what this is all about. Yes, it's about Jesus Christ, but it is not about leaving Jesus on the cross, which is what most people say when they mean, isn't it just about Jesus? But what I'm saying, what this message is saying, is that it is about Jesus, and he wanted a bride. Amen. So you are the bride of Jesus Christ when you hear the message and say, yes, I want you, Jesus. I want all of you as the way you say you are in this message, which is a fulfillment of Revelation 10. That's what I want, Jesus. Amen. Musicians, why don't you come? Heavenly Father, Lord, what a love story. What a rescue story, Lord Jesus. Lord, we've wandered about far too long when your word has been here to bring life to us, Lord Jesus. Father, may we catch, Lord, not just what you're saying, and that we might create something new, Lord, but may we catch who you are, Lord Jesus. May we catch the revelation of what you're trying to do in our day, which is to reveal yourself so that we might be redeemed, so that we might sing the song of the redeemed, as we have done in Revelation chapter 5, saying blessing and honor and glory, and worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who was worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Lord, we bless your name, Lord. It's so good. We're so thankful, Father. Lord, as we've just rehearsed the word in our hearing, Lord God, and many things were distilled, Lord Jesus, but Father, we've got a voice that you've given to us in our day. Father, I pray that you'd rise in our hearts a desire, Lord God, to hear your voice more. Lord, as I even think about how my own daughter wants more phone time with a young man that she's interested in. Father, but is that the way it is for us? Lord, do we want more phone time with you? Not just prayer, Lord, but in a way that, Lord, you've already recorded so many voice messages for us, voice messages of love that we can hear. And we let them sit dormant, Lord, and then we talk about how we love you. Lord, that some wires got crossed somewhere. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you'd open up our eyes and our ears to see who you are, Lord God, and all that you're doing, and all that you've given to us in our day, Lord, not to just call us back to dead letter of a bunch of recorded sermons, Lord Jesus, but to recognize that you saw fit to give us that word recorded for us that we could hear, so that we could hear your voice being declared that you are here calling out a bride. Father, how wonderful it is. Lord, if there's any here, Lord God, that haven't stepped into that, that have just been wandering, that have just been uncertain of what this message even is to them, Father, I pray that you would speak to their hearts, Lord God. Show them who you are and how you decided to do it in this last day, that we could rejoice in what you've given us, Lord God. Not that we could use this message as a club, Lord God, but that it is our lifeline, that it is our call to see you, Lord. Open our hearts to it now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thought of me above all, treasures of the earth.
behind a stone. You lived to die, rejected in the Lord like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall that you thought of me.
Gave of himself to you and to me so that we could become like him, so that we could live together for all of eternity. If you haven't chosen him, if you've just come into the church, I'm just a message person, I'm just a Christian because I'm here, I'm just bride because somebody told me, but you haven't come to a place where you've recognized the call that he has so graciously, so wonderfully, so powerfully presented to you of who he is, presenting himself as, I died for you to redeem you, but I don't want to redeem you into nothing. I don't want to just pull you out of denomination into what? Into him. And if it's just been a system, if it's just been works, if it's just been religion, and you haven't responded to a call of love that has captivated your mind and said, God, I can't do it anymore. I can't be alone anymore. It can't just be me anymore. It can't just be me trying anymore. It can't just be me trying to read the Bible and failing. It can't just be me trying to do the right things. But God, I don't want it to be about the things anymore. God, it must be for me. God, it must be about being with you. If you have not had that moment in your life, I pray, God, that he would come and bring that moment to you now, that you would answer his call. That you would cease your just wandering, that you would cease just standing there and just being the good Christian, but never having the actual experience of love to enrich your heart that God so desperately wants to give you. I pray, God, that He would move that and call you into that today. Crucify.
Took the fall and you thought of me above all. Crucified, church, sing it out. Lift him up, oh, lay behind the stone. You led to die, rejected like a rose. Oh, trampled on the ground, you took that fall.
it from the top. Let's worship a little bit.
Above all powers, yes, above all kings.
Think about that now.
Above all nature, all created things. Above all wisdom and all the ways of men. You were here before the world began. Above all power, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known. Above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. The crucified lay behind the stone. You lived to die, rejected. Like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and you thought of me. Above all, the crucified laid behind the stone. Rejected in the world like a rose, you took the fall of me. Above all, will I stand in all of you, and I stand in all of you, holy God, to all praises.
Oh, just let him do it with your hearts, church. Reach out to him if you're troubled in need. Lift him up and worship him now.
You are beautiful beyond description. Oh, too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen. And who can fathom the depths of your love? Oh, you are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand.
Once again, I stand in all of you.
just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. And I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. And I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory. In your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be with you. And I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. And I don't want to worship from afar, and draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, at your table, surrounded by your glory. And in your presence, Lord, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be with you. When I look into your holiness, and when I gaze into your loveliness, and when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. When I found the joy of reaching your heart, and when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. And I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. I worship you. Sing it again. Oh, and when I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. Oh man, I found the joy of reaching your heart, and my will becomes enthroned in your love. When all things become shadows in the light of you. Oh, lift your hands and worship together now. Then I worship you. I worship you. Oh, the reason I live is to worship you. Worship you. Our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory, yes, and the honor. Oh Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name, for you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you, oh, there is no one else like you. Our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory, oh Lord, and the honor. And Lord, we lift our hands in worship, yes, as we lift your holy name. And you are great, yes, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like lovely?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Miracle working God. Amen. I pray that'll be true in your life. Amen. If you have an issue or a challenge, a problem that you're facing in your life, amen, I pray that you can find that peace in your heart, amen, to let it go in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing a song or two before we leave. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. And I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the bless your name, oh Lord, I bless. Sing the chorus again, lift him up. I bless your name, and I bless your name. I bless your name, give you honor. That's right, church, sing it. You are the life. Oh, yes, and the truth, oh, way. I bless your name. Oh, Lord, I bless your name. First verse, sing it now. In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes. Think about it now. Oh, Paul and Silas prayed that night. Oh, here's the secret, church. And in their pain, oh, hallelujah, began to sing. You know what those chains are going to do, church? Those chains were loose. Hallelujah. Oh, and they were free. I bless your name. Oh, I bless your name. And I give you honor, I give you praise, and you are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. And I bless your name. Verse 2. Some midnight hour, if you should find, well, you're in a prison in your mind. Reach out and pray and defy those chains. I know they will fall. Yes, they will in Jesus' name. And I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. Oh, I give you praise. And you are the life. Yes, you are the truth, the way.
bless your name, bless your name, and I bless.
Sing it again, church. You're free to go in Jesus' name.